May 15, 2023, Swap for Pedro Show.
Thank you. mansions they. The water floods where tire tracks are walking through the kitchen door. The fire warms my heart attack. Fall back on the faithful water of things. When the hand and the shadow match perfectly, I won't forget the way you cried. Standing by the iron tree. It was never alright, even when it's cold outside, even on a quiet night, even though I said it was. It was never alright, even when it's cold outside.
Off for Pedro show, happy Monday. Start off with John Coltrane. Well, actually, it's his gig, his band, and this is Kobe, Japan, July 17, 1966. But what you heard was Jimmy Garrison doing a bass solo. And, of course, a bootleg, so that's the way that goes. But at least we got some kind of witness there. And then Speed to Plow with A Hard Friend is to Keep. And because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention from Pennsylvania, I got Brenda from New Jersey. I got Chris. Welcome aboard, both of you.
Thank
Happy
you.
To be here.
Absolutely. We got to give Howard Wolfen credit for the connect, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hi, Howard.
Love Howard. Love him. Okay. Brenda, you're going to go first. So please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Listening to the Beatles, seeing my older brothers taking out Beatle albums, and I guess I wrangled the cover from them and was just staring at the photos on the album.
So even though it was your musical experience, you used a lot of fucking eyeballs.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to prove to you I'm listening. Now, this pad you grew up, did it have music instruments?
Piano, accordions, we all had music lessons. I found out years later that I have a great aunt who was actually an opera singer.
Oh, beautiful.
I mean, not that I could ever sing like an opera singer, but
it's in your fucking genes.
Yeah, so there was music in the family.
Well, let me ask you this, since you brought up that fucking, that device that has one button for every note. Did you go through, because I've had guests on the show. By the way, this week it's 22 years. Fuck. Time's a freight train, people. Don't get in the way. Don't yell at it. Anyway, the piano lesson ordeal. Like, for some people, they almost chased them away from the music. What was your experience?
I had a really nice teacher, an older Italian gentleman, and I just loved it.
That's my experience, is it depends on the teacher. I don't think it's the act of lessons itself. I think there's technique. Not everybody can teach.
Exactly, exactly.
And
yeah,
you notice like Phil Jackson and shit. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but if you look at fucking like NBA, the best coaches ain't the best players, and the best players end up making pretty lame coaches. Ain't that a trip?
Yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah, that's a trip. It's an observation. Ain't supposed to be a point. Remember that Harry Nilsson movie he made for his boy? The point, right? The guy, he didn't have a point on his fucker. He had no point.
Oh, yeah, the point.
Right?
Yeah.
You take the K out of punk, and you got pun rock. Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt, though. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Both choir up until high school, and concert band in seventh grade, and in through marching band and concert band.
What instrument?
And then also they were like starting up guitar groups and talent shows and, you know, that all that.
Our shit was only for basketball and football games, so there's no guitars. It's all brass and drums. So what you said marching band, though.
Oh, yeah. No, the guitar part was talent shows.
Oh,
wow. High school sponsored talent shows.
Ah! Yeah, we didn't have that either. But, you know,
okay.
I graduated in 76, Peter. Pirates, right? Black and gold. Thank you fucking Proud Boys for stealing that color scheme, you assholes. Pendejos! Pinche pendejos. Anyway, back to your musical thing. What did you play in the marching band?
I play herald trumpet.
Whoa,
which is a beast of an instrument.
Yeah.
It's a trumpet with a flag, and it seemed like it weighed a ton because most of the weight was farther out from you.
Right, so torque.
Just really uncomfortable to play. And I'm 5'4", and generally there were, you know, like I was one of the few women who ever became a herald trumpet there.
I think that goes back to Roman shit.
Tall guys. Wouldn't.
Yeah, it goes back to Romans and like the fucking soldiers like wielded those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And you know about physics, right? You got fulcrum and lever. So the further that motherfucker's out there, the more, breaker bars when asshole uses the air hammer too tight for your lug nuts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here I'm getting all complicated about how cars work, and I said I wouldn't do that. Just put it in D and point it, press on the pedal. So, what was the
soldiers work too?
How was right? That big note. Hey, now, first album you bought with your own money, please.
Tommy the Who.
Okay,
well, you're talking LP, right? Not 45.
No, anything, because, man, I got people on the show that were born in the 2000s. They don't even know what those things are.
Okay.
So if they don't, if I'm not talking about the medium. What I'm talking about is when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So what would you first spend it on?
So, 45s. Don't ask me which one. I think I probably just went out and got a few.
My first bought music was a 45. It was Guess Who, American Woman.
Okay.
Winnipeg.
That's a good one.
D. Boone used to put, we'd play that fucking solo after school, like hours. Near, near, near. Oh, fuck. Anyway, first gig you saw? Remember, it's the Watford Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Yeah, I would say first show that changed my life would be the Bongos and the Tripes at Maxwell's in 1982. Before that, it would have been like cover bands and just not really going to see someone.
First concert I saw, it was with D. Boone, it was T-Rex, 1973. We were 14 years old.
Wow.
We didn't know about clubs, right? Arena rock, 70s. Fuck the 70s.
Yes.
Fuck the 70s. Have no fucking empathy for the 70s. Narcissistic bunch of shit. I remember when that show Happy Days came on and my pop said, those were not happy days.
Mm-hmm.
Something to think about. So Now, I'm not talking about after school, like graduating, but in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, bedroom band, garage band thing?
Bedroom band.
And did you use some of that guitar talent school thing? Yeah, well, again, like the medium with the album or cassette or whatever the fuck. I don't mean to get too specific. But did you use that guitar talent show skill? Or did you bring in the fucking trumpet?
Oh, no, it was guitar. Yeah, trumpet was strictly school. Guitar was everything else.
You know, in the 90s, there was a ska fad, and all them brass players in school got to be in the rock and roll bands for a little bit.
Oh.
But not long. I remember it was swing band, same kind of thing, though. The guy told me, I think they were Voodoo Skulls or something. He says, "What? When when the Gap ad comes out, it's over." So, okay, 90% close, right? Now, let me, I want to play more Speed the Plow. You gave me a Saint Restored.
Most all's well endings.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Speed the Plow with A Saint Restored. Then part 11 of Pelican Man, Planet Chernobyl. Me and Petra did an opera behind Charlie Plymell's libretto. This is part 11 of 15. Just came out. Erica Dawn Lyle with The First Garden. Maxine Funko at Long Beach. We got one here. Right? What was it? Spanish called it Cerritos, but there's a beach, I think, by Coney Island called Long Beach.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Quote the Raven. Well, Muskeg Mudsuck out of Anchorage, Alaska. C'est pas une chanson. Pardon my fucking lame ass. I fuck up the English language, too, so. Bajan Boy. I don't mean to. Hari Om Sharan. That's AJ out of Netherlands. And finally, Wild Cardation, Into the Sun. Chris, it's your turn. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, God. I would say earliest musical recollection was probably the Glenn Campbell show on TV. Oh, watching with my sisters.
Remember, everybody had a variety show.
Yep.
Mac Davis. There was a duet from Japan called Pink Lady. And it was like 6 months maybe. But, yeah, they tried that shit with everybody. Now they make them judges on the fucking talent shows, right?
Yeah.
Go back to Ted Mack.
Glenn Campbell and...
Incredible guitar man. Beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, both my mom and dad worked. And my Aunt Katie... kind of was always the caretaker, and my Uncle Pete always had great 45s of Johnny Cash and Glenn Campbell and the like, you know, that he was just a big influence on me.
Did you hear that those 45s before you saw him on TV?
Probably did, but I bet you it didn't really click until I saw it visually.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure,
watching
sure.
A little black and white TV on a fourth floor walk up, you know, it was, I don't know, kind of hit me on the side of the head. And that was the first thing. And then my folks always had different kind of musical things on TV. They were really into big band music and jazz and mostly big band, Sinatra,
now,
that kind of thing.
Was there instruments in the pad in the fourth
lock
up?
Nope, not at all. My mother or my father, neither of them ever played. And when we moved out of the fourth floor walk-up, we moved to the suburbs. Lyndhurst was near Giant Stadium. And we went from a Catholic school to a public school because the public schools were safer out in the suburbs. And that's when we were introduced to, would you like to play an instrument in grade school? And I chose clarinet. And I stuck with that.
The licorice stick.
Yep.
That used to be big time, man. Artie Shaw and Ben Goodman.
Yeah.
And like nobody rocks it now.
No, nobody plays. Well, you know, Tony Baumgartner from Speed the Plow, she plays the clarinet. And Wild Carnation, we did an awesome version of Tomorrow Never Knows with Brenda on trumpet. And I played clarinet. Richard,
you know,
on staff.
I'll tell you, out of the blue, Roxy Music, fucking Andy McKay's rocking the oboe.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That
it cuts through.
It cuts through.
I think that's what the clarinet was, the good thing. It could cut through. But, you know, humans are trendy fucking animals, so things going. What did Chuck D say? Cycles, life comes in cycles, old as new, no, I ain't no psycho. He lives out here by Santa Barbara. He married a professor.
Oh, really?
He was
strong.
I wouldn't shit you, Chris. Anyway, let's go on with your thing. You said you stayed with the clarinet.
Yeah, I stayed with clarinet all through high school, and even when... another year of going to band rehearsals before work, because it was before I had to start my job. I would go and play, you know, full band rehearsal with them. and then I was off. You know, I liked playing clarinet, but at one point I realized you couldn't play clarinet in a rock band. That was impossible.
Well, you could know? If you wanted to fuck with the paradigm.
Yeah, I wasn't into doing that. One of my buddies had a drum set in his basement, and I convinced him, hey, why don't you set that thing up? So he was playing drums, I was playing clarinet, and he was like, oh, you want to play around? I started playing around. I thought, oh, this is fun.
Did you get him to do the two-step? Because you could have got a klezmer thing rocking.
Well, it was kind of like that. But after that, I thought, well, maybe I should try to play drums. And I asked my folks for a drum set, and they couldn't afford that. But I had a sister who has since passed away, and she always had decent jobs, and she got me my first drum set from Manny's Music on 48.
You know, all that shit's gone now.
I know. It's all gone.
Fuck,
you know,
they had pictures of Jimmy on the bulkhead.
Yep.
D-Boom bought a red knob Fender Twin there.
Really?
I wouldn't shit you. Across the street was that We Buy Guitars. I got a blue Thunderbird. It was through the wind. I saw Paul Stanley. I knew the little tattoo on his shoulder with the rose.
Yep.
So I point at him. You know, there's a window. He can't hear anything.
Yeah.
And I mouth to him, is that you? And he mouths back, yeah, it's me.
Wow, that's cool.
I guess it's a tarred moment for what? First record you bought with your own money, Chris?
I would say it was probably pooled money with my brother, with my older brother, and I think it was probably Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Air Man.
You know who you played with them for a little bit? With Brother Steve McKay from Stooges.
Oh, really? I didn't
know
that.
Well, that's why I wanted you on the show to enlighten your ass.
Yeah, that is an enlightenment. But that was probably the first 45 I ever bought. And I'm bitches. Sure it was with my brother, Tom.
And first gig you saw?
Oh, okay. First gig was, I think, AC/DC opening up for Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow at the Palladium on 14th Street, 1978, maybe.
There's a New Yorker, Ronnie James Dio. I got to rap with him for hours a couple times, and beautiful guy. Started off as a bass player upstate New York.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted you on the show. Enlighten you. So.
The great thing about that show was AC/DC played their set. We had tickets in the Loge area, second tier. Angus Young came up with his, I don't know, 200-foot cord.
Yeah.
His goose step in front of me. After AC/DC played, Ritchie Blackmore got on for like a song and a half, walked off. Show was over, never came back.
Well, shit fit.
I think it was that night that AC/DC went down to CBGB's and played another show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
pretty cool.
Let me ask you this. You get on the drums.
Yep.
How do you get school? Is it man alone, or do you get a teacher or lessons or what?
Here's a good thing that ties into Brenda. So I went to grade school and high school with Stanley Demesky of the Feelies. And he was the town's best drummer. So he's in my brother's class, a couple of years older. Okay, Chris got a drum set for Christmas, comes up to me right after the holiday, points to me in the chest and says, you need to start taking lessons from me. And that's how it started. I started taking lessons from Stan. I remember the day he went and auditioned for the Feelies, which may have been the Willies or whatever they were calling
He took Anton's place, right?
Yep, he took Anton's place.
Which is, we lost him a few months ago.
Yeah, maybe like a year.
Maybe a year, okay.
In the past year, right?
It was in September 22.
Yeah, that was a sad thing. Very sad.
Yeah, who?
Anyway, that's how it started with me and drums, and I just kept going on it, and I remember, I think, Stan may have been joining Luna or something like that, and had said to me, you need to learn all the Speed the Plow songs because you're going to have to replace me at some point. And later that happened, but not because of Stan, I don't think.
Well, what was your first, what was your first gig on, what was your first gig?
What was your first gig on Montaluna?
Yeah, yeah.
And you came in.
Yeah, yeah.
To Speed the Plow.
Let me ask you this. What was your first gig on drums?
My first gig on drums was an audition night at about 2-3 o'clock in the morning at CBGB's, 1981.
For who?
The band was called State of the Art.
Did you make it? Was it a success?
Well, no, we didn't make it, but all of the people that, or most of the people that were in that band went on to do something. Like, I went on with Wild Carnation and Speed the Plow, and the lead singer of State of the Art went on to, he was in a band called Ward 8, and then they changed their name when they signed to Chrysalis. They changed the name of that band to Winter Hours.
Well, I would call that a success then, if it, anything that leads to something else. Look,
yeah.
Sorry, I got to tell you, it's the end of the first hour, May 15, 2023. You're watching from Pedro Show, Chris and Brenda. Hold tight for hour two. May 15, 2023, it's the second hour, watching from Pedro Show.
Not recognize me being pushed out this way, outfitted such was my intention to be born this way with healthy eyes. I will not be heard as much as felt my hope by healthy eyes. Both sides, inside and outside, a universe above our heads with nothing seen. To wonder that, but felt by healthy eyes, no fear or envy or meanness imagined here. Imagine that here with wisps of trips and sips of lips surfacing here, felt by healthy eyes, feelings heard, words felt and wondered about out loud, and most now alone, together that way. These clothes now, they make me seem, now that I've got them on, for you to ponder with healthy eyes.
fantasma recorre la tierra.
Watch for Pedro show start off the second hour with Joss doing My Own Ghost. Then we had, fuck me, reading a poem in Philly in 2008, August 9th. Oh, I was playing bass behind Charlie Plymel, but he had me do one of my poems. Stefano Palia, I have sung to my Nile bandmate, Bologna, doing the Deep Rom Blanket. Cube after that with Untitled, G.A.S. Drummers, out of the Sevilla part of Spain, Un Mato de Fuego. Hidden Forces Trio with Raul Catanzaro, Late But Sharp, Andre Vita out of Berlin with Danders, and finally Speed to Plow, Follow Your Visions. So let me ask this, Speed to Plow, is this when you guys start playing together, Chris and Brenda?
No.
Okay, bring it.
What had happened was Rich and I were looking for people to play with. We had been in one band that had ended its life. We had started playing with another person, and that person went on to start doing film work and everything. And we needed other people to play with. We were at a Yola Tango show. The Feelies had just broken up. And we saw Brenda in the audience. And my friend Rich said to me, "You know the Feelies. Go talk to her." And I was very shy and bashful. And I didn't really know Brenda at all. I knew Stan. And I walked over, chatted it up a little bit. We had dropped off a tape for Brenda, and Brenda listened, liked it, and we started Wild Carnation.
That was in 92. The Yola Tango show was March 92, our first rehearsal, although we didn't pick the name until over the summer. Rehearsal was April 92.
Okay, so Watts got the timeline wrong. Wild Carnation is actually before Speed to Plow.
Right.
Actually, Speed the Plow dates back to the 80s. Speed the Plow rose up out of the non-Feelies tripes. And this is where, like, you just have to kind of look at, research the history, or I had to tell you a rather long story of, like, Held in New Jersey had all these various bands and this group of people, group of musicians and singers, going in and out of each other's bands. So Speed the Plow, like the Feelies started to get busier in around 1984 or so, or maybe a little bit later, more like 86. And the members of the Tripes, who the Feelies members were also a part of the Tripes, and Young Woo, again, all these various bands in Helden. You know, it's sort of a natural progression. You know, people kind of move on, and then these other people form another band. So Speed the Plow came out of that.
Well, actually, there's a bass man in Feelies before you're in the band, right?
Right. Yeah, the Feelies.
I had a record called Raised Eyebrow. What was the other song? Raised Eyebrow was one side. Yeah, I think you said
Fosse La.
Yeah, Fosse La. Yeah, and it had another bass man. I think he was.
That was the,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Keith D'Annunzio.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what you're saying is things
were before Anton, Vinnie D'Annunzio. So the D'Annunzio brothers on bass and drums, and then Bill and Glenn, and also Dave Weckerman from the Feelies was an early Feelies drummer as well.
But then he rejoins the band as a percussionist.
Yeah, some years later.
So what you're saying is there's a little pool of cats playing, and they're playing in each other's bands.
Very incestuous. Right.
So Speed to Plow went through many, a number of personnel changes.
Okay,
were part of Speed to Plow when they first formed. We came in at a later date. And then pretty much Speed to Plow assimilated Wild Carnation.
Let's talk about Wild Carnation then, because that's the next song I'm going to play. The lights are on, but no one's home.
Tell me today.
Watch for Pedro Show. Not fair, we're talking about human ways of organizing their artwork, people. Let's start that chunk of music off. Wild Carnation, the lights are on, but no one's home. Arabia Saudada from Milano with Guiana Francesca, French Guiana, right? Think of their new album. They had the, you know, the dilemma of the song titles. They just named every tune after a fucking country in South America. Head Boggle after that with Square Dance. Emergency Room with Five. These motherfuckers, they just put numbers on their songs like the old classical people, right? Colin Dyer, Probability Acid. Cod O'Donnell, Requiem for Jack Kirby. And finally, Ward 8. This is Chris O'Donovan on the drums. Tell me today. You know, I didn't get enlightened to Joss. What was Joss? How does Joss fit in that, Brenda, that, are they part of that Hoboken thing?
No.
Okay.
Joss fit in, it was the in-between, Wild Carnation was on a bit of a hiatus. Brenda and Rich had their son James, and we really weren't doing much at all. And I was quite bored and just looked in the Village Voice one day, saw an ad, bass player, guitar player, Sage drummer. I met these two guys and I thought it was great. Each one of us were like 10 years difference in age. The youngest guy was like 22, next guy 32, I was 40 or so, and we just melded and very much into television and the church and stuff like that. And it just worked out for a few years. And we had one album out of it and we enjoyed ourselves a lot. Played a bunch of shows on the East Coast and.
But Brenda
also
had
released on Delmore too.
Brenda had nothing to do with it. Okay.
Only she just had a baby. That's what she had to do with it. She had the baby.
She instigated.
She
was the launch pad, the fucking springboard.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Hit me to fucking Ward 8.
Okay, Ward 8. Ward 8 was, here's another connection with the Feelies, kind of. You know how Brenda was talking about the Feelies and the Tripes and, you know, well, Young Woo and Speed the Plow. That was the Halden scene. And where I grew up in Lyndhurst, we had what they were calling the Lyndhurst Musical Mafia.
Can I ask you, is this the Lyndhurst with the fucking Hindenburg blowing up?
No, that's Lyndhurst.
Okay.
So anyway.
Lakehurst.
That was Lakehurst. Yeah. So Lyndhurst had a pretty good punk club called Aldo's. And Aldo's had the Stranglers playing there before they were anybody. And we were all like a bunch of punk rock kids, right? So we all went to the same high school, same thing, very incestuous. Everyone's playing with everybody else. And Stan Demesky, who went on with the Feelies and Luna and beyond, you know, he was part of that. And he was in Ward 8. But Ward 8, for whatever reason, could never seem to keep a drummer. And they were doing some demos for Chrysalis, and it was some pretty fancy producer that he produced Talk Talk or something. They needed a drummer to play on a couple of songs, and they didn't have anybody say, hey, Chris, will you do it for us? So I went in, I played two songs. I never would have entertained joining them because I figured, well, if Stan can't stay in Ward 8, I'm not going to stay in Ward 8. So I always did my own things, but that was a pretty big highlight. And Winter Hours, and which is what they become, and Ward 8, they were really close friends with a lot of great music. And the guitar player from Winter Hours and Ward 8 owned a legendary record shop in Manhattan called Subterranean Records. And his name was Michael Carlucci. He taught everybody in town guitar, or so it seemed. Later on, he was friends with Lloyd and Quine, and probably had some fights with Tom Verlaine about bootlegs or something. But he was friends with Patti Smith and all that, and that's where the Ward Aid and the Winter Hours thing kind of came together. And at one point, while Carnation, we were getting ready.
I got to pull the plug on you because we're at the end of the second hour. We'll continue, though, Chris. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
15-20-23, Dish Wap Pedro Show, people. Special guest, Brandon, Chris. Hold tight for hour three. May 15, 2023, it's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
live on your street. Yeah, we're the people who you never meet. We live here, and we always did. Though you do your best just to keep us here. We're the ones whose lives never started. The United States of the brokenhearted. We live with ghosts of the dear departed. In the United States of the brokenhearted. Yes, we do now. There's more of us than there are of you. We're the ones whose lives are blue. Stuck in the land of milk and honey. Well, life don't mean a thing if you ain't got money. We're the ones whose lives never started. The United States and the brokenhearted. We live with ghosts of the dear departed. In the United States and the brokenhearted.
Thank you. mind keeps us moving.
Don't.
Watch for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started the third off, third hour. Only 22 years. What? Still fucking up. This is pre-Wild Card Nation. That's what the notes say here. Dodger Blue. And then after that, Jeb Lloyd Nichols with United States of the Broken Hearted. Diane Marie Clover with Hey Don Don. Bondo with Zion Gate. Adele Mead with Yongi Rivrag. I think that's Slovakia Slav. And then finally, Wild Card Nation, Under the Weight. Okay. So, I got to figure out how Wild Card Nation gets together.
Well, Wild Card Nation got together because of the demise of the Feelies. And right before Wild Card Nation got together, Rich and I were playing with Michael Imperioli, who went on to be Christopher Moltisanti in The Sopranos and numerous other films.
This is before
White Lotus and the whole.
This is before the Yole Tango gig. This is before the Yole
right.
Tango. Okay. You know that Lotus Cat is a fucking nephew or something of John Coltrane.
Is that's something else, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a trip. He makes some trippy stuff, I've heard.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to White Card. So you guys are already playing, and this is what you were talking about last hour, about you had to find another person, and there's Brenda in the crowd.
Yeah, so Michael was going on. I think he left us to do Jungle Fever. I think Spike Lee's Jungle Fever, maybe. And he said, I can't do the music and the acting, you know, so I'm going to do acting. But we remained friends over the years, and we're still friends to this day. And maybe six or seven of the songs on Tricycle were worked out with Michael and lyrics that he had before we met Brenda. And then we met Brenda, and we used the same music, and Brenda put her lyrics to it. And on Dodger Blue, we have Michael's version and Brenda's version.
And, like, you were doing Wild Card Nation gigs with Michael, right?
No, we had never played out.
Okay. So you don't play gigs until you bring Brenda on board.
Yeah, and we weren't Wild Card Nation with Michael. We didn't even have a name. We just got together every week and rehearsed.
Surprise.
He was a big fan of the Feelies and Galaxy 500 and things like that, and that's why he answered our ad in the Village Voice.
Okay. You know, I have guests on, and they give me names of bands and shit to reference to, but I'm really, as I get less younger, I don't give a goddamn. I'd rather have you talk about your sounds from you, instead of referencing other stuff.
But no
criticism. It's just his lack of patience or something. You know, I got some guy, I had some dude on there telling me about Smashing Punk, and it's hard. I'd rather just have personal reflections. What about this New York Woman song?
Oh, Brenda could go with it.
That was a compilation, a tribute to Yoko on her 80th birthday. So we were, kind of really, I don't want to say honored, really kind of blessed to be asked and be a part of it. So each group would choose a song. We chose New York Woman, recorded it in Chris's basement, and so the proceeds from it went to charity. I believe it was some sort of food bank, the kind of food related charity, and so it was only on that compilation, which is no longer available. So some of the tracks that we picked out for your show are,
That's interesting, though.
Find.
That's interesting, though. You did it in Chris's basement. Chris, you got a studio?
Yeah.
The last thing I ever purchased at Manny's Music was Pro Tools 7 Pro.
Great. That's bitching. So you do your own recording. Oh, that's beautiful.
No.
And Dan, So Dan Francia engineered. He's a son of one of the tribes, and he's in Speed the Plow.
All connected, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to New York Woman.
New York woman, I miss you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Wild Carnation started off that chunk, New York Woman. Then we had Phil Venable, Paul Sweet, Paul. Duo out of North Carolina with Echo Lake Paragraph. Pineapple Empress out of England. South side of London. The Golden in the Field. And then finally, Speed the Plow. Once the roof is off, the stars are there, and it's mighty cold. So what are you guys doing now? What's the deal?
Well, you want to take it again, Chris?
You could start. I'll do the tail off or something.
So we the last shows that we played were in 2019. Wild Carnation was set to play on March 13th, 2020, which was when the whole East Coast and possibly the whole country shut down with COVID. It was just so bizarre to be, you know, about to do a show and then it's canceled and, you know, like everyone else was going through.
Oh, a show, right?
It's postponed a little bit. And
you're saying a show, Brenda. I had a tour canceled, 60 gigs.
Wow.
So I was there too. So, but anyway.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
We all live through this. Okay.
So it's.
What are you doing now?
The reissue of Tricycle now on vinyl and also with downloads came out on Record Store Day 2023. Feelies were playing a couple shows that weekend. So the next weekend, Wild Carnation, you know, playing for the first time in 4 years, we played at Jack's Music Shop in Red Bank, New Jersey, which was a really great way to come out of, you know, just having not played in so long.
Yeah.
Really cool record shop. We did, I don't know, 30 minutes to 45 minutes. So right now we could play shows if we can line some shows up. You know, coming out post COVID, like what clubs are left and
I toured.
It's very competitive even getting shows.
I know, but I toured a year ago. I did 48 gigs in 48 days. There's gigs out there, believe me. It is competitive. Mm-hmm. You can do it. I'm gonna go out in September again. I think we gotta not let this shit beat us down. I have guests come on, and they I know it was a heavy thing and stuff, but so was World War II. What if we were born in 1941?
Right.
Well,
we'll have shows. I think we'll have shows coming up in Asbury and Jersey City for sure.
We're just sort of getting things going again because it had been so long.
Right.
And this, you know, this record has been doing really, really well, and. So actually we've been kind of busy doing, various interviews and, talking to a lot of really cool people from mostly the United States, but also, the UK.
What about if people want to find out more about you on the internet? Is there a website?
Yeah. To purchase Tricycle. So there were 500 copies on white vinyl, which are pretty much all taken. There were some on Discogs, but just a handful. So there will be a second pressing, but it's not going to be ready for a while. So the best place to go is DelmoreRecordings.com, and there are links there. So you could, if you can't find the vinyl, you could find you could just download. So the album is on there, plus live tracks and a whole bunch of demos that we had done. So there's just a lot of extra stuff that comes with the download. We have a presence on the net. There's wildcarnation.com.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear.
There's a lot of activity there. I would say the best way is to go to Wild Carnation on Facebook. Also, we have a presence on Bandcamp. And the YouTube channel, again, it may not seem very active, but we're trying to, again, not enough hours in the day, trying to get more things on there. But while the album has just come out, it's not a good time to put all our tracks up there. You know, it's got to, it's got to sell, and then we can start putting stuff up there. So DelmoreRecordings.com or Wild Carnation Facebook, and also Bandcamp.
Well, the corporate website's probably got links to your own website, right?
Yeah.
So let's don't give those motherfuckers any more fucking hype. It's been a big honor to have you aboard. You're going to probably do some new Wild Carnation in the future, right?
Can I put
an invite out right now? When you get the new stuff recorded, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it.
Absolutely.
Oh, we'd love that.
Yeah, and actually, our second recording, Superbus, which was recorded in 2000, but we didn't put it out till 2006. That's coming out on vinyl in the fall on a different label. So,
but you didn't give me any. You didn't give me any songs from that, right?
No.
No.
Okay, so that could be part of the batch when you come back with me, and we can, you know what I mean? I would love to see where the band is now, and or what is going to become, right?
Right.
Not everything that you're going to do has been recorded yet, right?
No. Right. We have a third album that's, I would say, three quarters done. I think that's one of the best, in my opinion.
Well, when that baby comes out, it gets delivered, will you come back on Wild from Pedro's show, please?
Absolutely. This is a blast. I was a little bit intimidated because you're pretty much a hero for me. But yeah, this was a blast.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an honor to be on your show.
Very kind. Yeah, but I want you back too, please.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much.
People, it's been May 15, 2023 edition. Why, Peter, should keep your powder dry.